Blog Talk Radio.
Coming back with a bang. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. And welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. We're also known as TNT. So I want to say hi to my wife, Tasila. How are you today? All right, let me see what's happening. Are we having any technical difficulty? If you are talking, Pastor Tasila, I think you might be on mute.
I was just saying I want to thank all our friends and family from all over the world, and God bless you, and make sure you call somebody and tell them that Christian Talk is on.
That's right. Call and tell everyone that we're here and we're ready to come ready for a blessing. Get ready for a blessing. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. And, you know, as always, I want you to pick up your phones, grab your computers, or go to your inbox, whatever. Text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Tell them to dial that number if they just want to dial in. Or if they want to listen from their computer, they can just click on the link or the picture where you see the post of this particular show on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. Okay, and just go ahead and click on the link or the picture. Now, understand that on Facebook, you can click on tonight and listen to our program, and if you want to tell somebody else about it or if you missed it, you can click on it anytime this week on Facebook. Where if you see the post for this show, you can click on it anytime this week, and the entire program will play, okay? So just remember that. Also, remember that you can catch T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on The Message of Life. We're on hsbn.tv. It's called The Message of Life. So just go to hsbn.tv and put The Message of Life, T. Meyer and Tasila, and we'll pop up. You can also just go to YouTube and put T. Meyer McCain or T. Meyer and Tasila, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. You can do that on YouTube and The Message of Life, and a lot of other things that pop up, and you'll get a chance to choose any one of our programs that you want to listen to. You'll see us. We're right there, hsbn.tv, okay? Also, remember that we have a book that we've released on Amazon. It's available right now on Amazon. It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. God is, it's a mystery between God and Christ, and we need to know the God we serve. So this is a good book for you to get. It's available on Amazon. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. I'm telling you, you will be enlightened, and it will cause you to have a closer walk with the Lord. You know, the Lord loves to unveil different things about him, but we won't be able to really tell you who God truly is. I mean, his awesomeness. No, we won't be able to do that. But we only give what God has given us, and he's unveiled little by little, little different things about himself. So you might want to do that, okay? Just go ahead and buy the book and even buy a few copies for some friends and other family members. Also, we would like for you to visit our web page, www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. You can go there. Once you go there, you'll see three little lines on your left. You click on those lines, and you can navigate throughout the whole web page. Go to books and click on that, and it'll take you right to Who is God. It'll take you right to Amazon, and you can order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. And you can continue to navigate and go to media, and it'll take you right to our television show on HSBN.TV called The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, okay? One last thing. Can I tell them one last thing, Pastor Tecila?
Oh, yeah, I think they don't mind.
We are inviting you, every one of you, I don't care where you live in the United States or anywhere in the world, come and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And guess what? Our services start at 1:30 p.m. So if you're in the California area, come on and worship with us. If you're out in the Inland Empire area, come on and worship with us. Matter of fact, even I don't care where you are, just hop on a plane and come and worship with us this Sunday, okay? All right? Don't go away. We're going to be right back. I have to play this song. This is a song written by Pastor Tecila. It's called Healing Fire. Praise the Lord. Don't go away. yeah. Healing Fire. Praise the Lord. You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tusila, also known as TNT. And wait a minute. What's this? Do you hear? What's going on here? Yep. You know what that means. Let's get ready for it. All right. So I think you know, all of you who listen by now, you should know what that means. It means that we have a special guest.
Special guest.
And praise the Lord, a special guest here. And our special guest is, let me hear a drum roll. A real woman of God. We love her so much. Miss Miko Suli. Miko Suli. Hello, Miko. How are you today? You doing good?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let me tell everybody a little bit about Miko, okay? Miko lives in Los Angeles, California, and as a born-again child of God, she has faced many battles and struggles, but God has and is faithfully bringing her through all of them, every one, as she continues on this journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. She would just like to share some of those struggles and battles as well as the victories in hopes that it can help someone be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For our God is faithful, and he promises to never leave or forsake us. Amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Miss Miko Suli. Hallelujah. You hear the people?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, Miko, tell us about this journey that you're on. Well, you've been on, but what you're on.
Well, yeah, but let's go back. Let's go back to where Miko is from. Start there, Miko. And when did you first, where you were born, and then when you first felt that, you know, you were being called?
Well, that was way later in life, but I was born, we're from Chicago, but I'm my mom's only child that is born here in California. She came to California for some time, had me, went back to Chicago, and then later when I was about 13 years old, she moved back to Los Angeles, and we've been residing here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just to start, the journey with the Lord, I would say when we were in Chicago and I was growing up, my mom, I believe, is a first generation Christian, meaning she is the first. Huh?
I said, that's good, because I was going to say something about it. Keep going.
Yeah, she's a first-generation Christian. So growing up, I watched my mom through her journey of the Lord, which started in Chicago in the 70s. And I just remember people around her sometimes saying, like, you know, she's a Jesus freak or what's wrong with her, or maybe not really being understanding my mom's journey. And later on, years later, as becoming a Christian myself, I now, understand things a little bit more clearly. But when we grew up in Chicago, my mom basically would tell us about the Lord, or she would have people over and they would be having meetings, and I would see her and her friends worshiping and talking about the Lord and learning more about the Lord. So those were my early days. My journey with the Lord really began probably I mean, since I heard about the Lord all my life, but it really began when God started to have a personal relationship with me. Because then I now knew that it wasn't something that I read in a book or something that someone else told me, but basically I was experiencing it for myself. And that started much later on in life. I'd probably say where it started at was, to my recollection, was I was being, I had been sentenced to go to prison for 8 years, and a lady that mm-hmm. was the secretary to the lawyer that I had just asked me if she could take me to church. And I said yes, and she took me to church one because I had been sentenced, and she said, I really want to take you to church before you have to turn yourself in to do 8 years in prison. And she took me to a church, and when we got to the church, thank you, Jesus, and when we got to the church, it was all the lights were off, and there was no cars in the parking lot, just a few, and I was thinking, this is a weird situation. And we walked through mm-hmm. the church, and we went downstairs into, like, a room that was downstairs. And there was about six older ladies, very seasoned in the Lord. And I asked her, like, what is this? And she said, well, I wanted you to get prayed for before you have to turn yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
So they all stood
what
around me.
What a ministry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't church as normal, basically, and I didn't grow up very church, so I didn't have a lot of information as to what was happening or what these things meant. Nobody told me beforehand. She just told me basically she wanted them to pray for me. Well, these six ladies, including herself, stood around me and started to tell me what they were going to do, and they started to what is called carry for me. And
wow.
I understand it now to be that tarrying means that they are petitioning the Lord to fill me with an indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they started to tarry, and they said, you know, just close your eyes and just, they put me in the middle and they said, just thank the Lord, just thank him. He's going to fill you with your heavenly language. And they started to speak in tongues and tarry. Well, that went on for about 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, I said in my mind, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I know these ladies are tired. They've been here for 45 minutes already. And I don't know what to do because, I mean, I'm not feeling anything or nothing's happening. And I said, should I just go yabba dabba 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 because I don't know what to do. And as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit, I got the evidence of speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit filled me, and I spoke in tongues for 2 hours, and I was so worn out. You could tell by the look on my face when it hit me. My eyes opened big, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's happening, you know? And I got filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they stood there with me the whole 2 hours or whatever it was that it was pouring out of me like living water, out of our bellies flow rivers of living water, and it was just pouring out, and it felt like such a release. It felt like finally, you know, this bubbling coming out of me just felt like so good to speak in tongues. I felt so connected, and it was just a wonderful thing. But it just kept coming, and I was like, wow, you know, it just wouldn't stop. And then, you know, finally when it did, and, you know, I went home. I was very excited. And shortly after that, I had to turn myself in to go to prison. And in all honesty, when I got to prison, you know, acted up.
You what?
I was still not you know, because I'm still on the journey, you know. I'm still acting up sometimes to tell the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on this journey. And every day is something to learn and something to try to get closer to the Lord. Even just right now, this is the first time that I've ever given my testimony in public. I've told my friends my testimony, certain people, my best friend Tamia, my friend Patrice Landeros Pebbles, and other people I've given my pieces of my testimony to. But never have I, even this is a journey to give my testimony on live, you know, radio to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to prison. I acted up, you know. I didn't, I was filled with the gift of speaking in tongues, but I didn't really, like, follow and pursue God the way that I really should have. So that, from that time, was I was about 24 years old. And then we'll fast forward all the way until I say I was about maybe 34 or 35. It was about 2005. And that's when that's when God really started to have a personal relationship with me. And before that, some supernatural things happened. I was living with my husband and my daughter, my husband at the time and my daughter, and we got into a car accident, and we rolled off of the freeway, and an angel carried my daughter to the front of the car. And that was the first time that something very supernatural had happened to me. And had he not been there to witness it with me, I would have not believed it myself if someone had told me. But our car rolled off the freeway, and it tumbled over about five times. And we were sitting in the front, and we were new parents, so we put our daughter in the back of our minivan in her car seat. And when this car stopped rolling, we both looked at each other, and I was terrified to look in the back of the car, really was. And we both turned around at the same time and looked back, and our daughter was floating through the air so slowly. The angel had gotten her out of the car seat and was bringing her to the front of the car. And he placed her in my daughter. And yes, I saw it with my own eyes. And like I said, if I had not seen it, I would, if someone else told me before, you know, before all these things happened to me, now anything anyone tells me, I've seen so much supernatural stuff that I do believe. But if someone else had told me that story, I would have been skeptical. I would have been looking at them like, yeah, okay. But because it happened to me, and I know that it happened, and I know that I wasn't dreaming, although I felt like I was dreaming. It happened, and my husband is witness to it, that she was floating through the air as slow as anything, and we couldn't see anybody's hands on her or anything, but they were cradling her in a hand, and she was just floating in the air, and I kept blinking my eyes like, what in the heck is going on? And then she was placed into my husband's arms. It was like another angel took his arms and put them out, and then she was placed there. And after all of that happened, when we were in the hospital, because my husband, after we all got out the car, he fell out with a concussion. And while he was out with the concussion, I kept going over this in my mind over and over and over again. I was like, well, maybe my brain just got rattled. There's some explanation. Maybe I was asleep and fell out and I was dreaming it. But as soon as he came to, I said, I have one question for you. Please tell me what happened. And he looked at me and he started, his eyes got big and he goes, you're not going to believe this. I go, yeah, I'm going to believe it. And he said, Erica was floating through the air and got placed into my arms. And I said, yes, I knew that. I knew I wasn't sleeping. So that was the first supernatural thing that happened to me. And the scripture that God had given me during that time was, which is my favorite scripture, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. They are good plans. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I quote that scripture is because that scripture would bring me then from back then when I had my daughter at age 31 to some years later to 2000. I had her in 1999. In 2005, when God started to really deal with me personally, I hadn't been on drugs since I was a teenager. I mean, I smoked marijuana, but I mean like heavy drugs like crack cocaine and methamphetamine. I was on meth and smoking crack and meth. And in 2005, I was so disgusted with myself. I ran around everywhere looking for the Lord. I even went to Florida to attend a church in Florida because I just wanted to run away from my life and I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I did all that and I had went to a bunch of other churches before I left and I was just trying to find the Lord. I was trying to find him desperately, which brings me to also another scripture that says, God said that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And
mm-hmm.
I was seeking him. I was seeking him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and everything that I knew to seek him with. But I wasn't finding him. I didn't feel like I was finding him. I was depressed and I was stressed and I was still smoking marijuana and I just didn't feel close to God at all. And I came back to Los Angeles from Florida after attending a church out there that I went there to attend the church and help the pastor and everything. And, you know, it was nice while I was there, don't get me wrong. And the pastor, the bishop and his wife were very nice to me and kind to me. But when I came back, I still felt frustrated because I was like, I don't understand what's going on. And then when I came back was when I got on drugs. I wasn't on drugs before then. Then I said to myself, wow, now I'm worse off than I was before. Because now I gave up and I started doing drugs. I don't know why, but I just started doing drugs and because I was trying to run away from that. And then I came back and, like, got just full-fledged into it. And then I was sitting at my mom's house. This word gets good. It's all good, but this is
it's all
good. Really good.
It's your life.
It's all good.
Really good. Yes.
But this is where it gets really good. I was sitting at my mom's house, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was on drugs, and I was depressed, and I was oppressed, and I hadn't bathed because I was of my depression. I wasn't bathing, and what else? Depressed, oppressed. Oh, I had suicidal thoughts also. From time to time, I had suicidal thoughts. And I just felt like, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I thought that everything that I had tried just failed. And then I heard a voice say to me, "Are you done?" And I was like,
Say that again.
Oh,
are you what?
Are you done?
What is the voice? Oh, okay.
It said, "Are you done?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I didn't know who was talking to me, but I was like, and I'm having this, again, I just want to say before I start having these verbal conversations that as we know as Christians or may not know, when the Lord speaks to us, it's not like I have to speak to you. This talk show may take an hour, but when God speaks to us, since we are one, it's like I already know his communication, what he's saying to me. So it's not like he's really having this whole verbal conversation with me in my mind.
Yeah.
In my spirit.
Yeah, it's a download.
Because somebody asked me one time, well, is God just having this conversation with you like this? Yes, but at the same time, it's not like how we conversate. It's different because I'm in him and he's in me. His spirit is in me, which brings me to what he was telling me and changed my whole outlook and perspective about what I was going through. So I heard a voice say, "Are you done?" And I was like, "Yes, I'm done." At first I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yes, I'm done, because I just feel like I'm just done, you know?" And then he said to me, why are you looking for me? And I was like, he said, "Don't you know that I live inside of you, that I'm inside of you, that you are in me and I am in you and we are one? You have run everywhere you can looking for me." And so what he was basically saying was, like, once I came to the end of myself of thinking that I could go somewhere to find him, and then I was now sitting there on drugs, stressed out, suicidal thoughts, funky, smelling, he was like, I'm with you. You don't have to go anywhere to look for me. And he began to tell me that he loved me and that he provided for me, which was his son, Jesus Christ. So I knew I was talking to God the Father. And he said, "I've provided for you." And he said that there's nothing wrong with you. And I said, "Well, I look at me. There's everything wrong with me. I'm stressed out. I'm depressed. I have suicidal thoughts. I am on drugs. I haven't even bathed. I smell." And he was like, "There's nothing wrong with you." He said, "I don't see you the way that you see yourself. I see yourself through my son's blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're my daughter, and there's nothing wrong with you. You're in a spiritual battle, and I'm going to need you to listen to my voice, and I'm going to lead you out." And that's what God told me. That's when things got really, really real. Yeah. And that was
go ahead, Miko, and then I'll say what I'm saying. 2005.
Go ahead. Listening.
Yeah, okay. 2005. And then for those of you who are listening and you feel like, how could Jesus be in us? That was one of his real special prayers to the Father before he left us in John 17:21. He says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I am them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. This is all prayers and promises from the Lord, this oneness. So that is beautiful that God spoke that to you. It's his word.
Yeah.
And it's true. And if you say that God is in us, Jesus is in us, Christ
in you,
the hope
of glory. And we are
one
with him. Right. And so it changed my whole perspective, because it was nothing that I had ever heard before, and I had not read my Bible much, so I didn't even read that, but that's what God
And you wasn't trained
was
that.
Me.
You wasn't, no one taught you that. He told
no,
you that.
He told me. He said, and he said, now there's a lot of voice, you know, the voices that you're hearing, it's the enemy's voice, your own conscience, your own voice, my voice. And then there's the voice of the world, which is telling you, like, there's something wrong with you. You need to get on medication and all this stuff. But God told me there was nothing wrong with me. And he also told me that he did not want me to touch the – so this might help someone. When you're going through a spiritual battle and you have all these things talking to you and coming at you, it may seem as you feel like you're crazy, you know? Because demons are real, and the voice of the enemy is real. However, you know, there's the voice of God and the Holy Spirit, rather, and he leads us through these things. But I was being told, like, you know, something's wrong. You need to get on medication and stuff. And God the Father told me, I don't want you to touch that. I just want you to listen to my voice, and I'm going to lead you through, because there's nothing wrong with you. So I'm saying that to say to somebody that because you're going through spiritual warfare and you might be hearing things and things may be, you know, because the supernatural realm is weird. It's real and it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to draw close to God. And and he, another promise of his is that he leaves us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. And after he told me not to touch that medication, like a few years later, and, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but there was instances where people were taking the medication and bad things were happening to them, of course, even the ultimate, you know, not being here anymore. But they were doing things like messing with their hormones, like boys were growing breasts and people were getting all kinds of side effects. And he told me not to touch that medication because they didn't. Now, I didn't, that's insight because I didn't know what was going on with the medications and stuff. But he was like,
that antidepressant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't want me to, in other words, he didn't want me to seek any other help except for him because he said, and again, I have to reiterate, is that one of the things that he made sure that he said to me was, I have provided for you. Everything that you need, I have already provided it, and I provided it in my son. That means Isaiah 53, everything that I've done, my sin, my rebellion, sickness and disease, mental health, emotional, you know, stress, anything that I've been going through, he already provided that in Jesus for me by the blood of Jesus. And what he told me was, which I would find out later when he healed me, because I got healed three times and more, when he showed me, you know, Isaiah 53, was what he provided in the blood of Jesus. It's a cure. It's not, and it restores you not to, because we're new creations in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't just restore us, like say you get a broken bone, and then the bone comes back together, but it's still achy and limpy and everything like that. But when we become new creations in Christ Jesus, we are made over again. That means if that leg is broken, it now becomes something else. It's made over. It's not a broken leg that heals. So Jesus Christ is a cure. He is what was sent for us and provided for us. And what I learned was that when we have the key but we don't know how to use it to unlock what he's provided for us. Two testimonies of people that I heard, one lady said that God took her to heaven and she saw a room that was filled with vials of oil. And another lady said that she went to heaven and she saw limbs and things. And both of them asked God, what are these things? And the Lord told them both the same thing, that these are things that people never asked for.
Right. Don't utilize. Yeah. And it's there.
And so if we've been provided for mentally, physically, everything, then we can ask him for these things because these are the things that he wants to give us because that's what he provided for. So when I took communion, there was a time where I was in the back of my mom's car and I was laying down. I had flu-like symptoms. I mean, I was just feeling gross. I mean, I was had the sweat and I felt, you know, my stomach, whatever, and, you know, like I had the flu. And my mom went in Walgreens. And I afterwards, you know, excuse me, you guys, but I had to boo-boo, right? I started to run across the parking lot to run in Walgreens, and halfway across the parking lot, the Holy Spirit said, go back to the car and take communion. And to my natural mind, it didn't make sense. I didn't understand what he was trying to do. And he said, go back to the car and take communion. So, you know, I was kind of arguing with the Holy Spirit. I was like, but, you know, I did say I had to, you know, do number two, right? Because, I mean, symptoms, so I mean I had to use the bathroom and I was sweating and everything, but he would not let me go to the Walgreens. He said, go back to the car and take communion. So basically I lost the argument at the end. I said, okay, hey, I'm gonna go back to the car real quick and take communion, but if something happens, it's your fault. In my days of arguing with the Holy Spirit, I just don't even understand myself. But I ran back to the car, but see, my natural mind was thinking, oh, I'm going to run back to the car, hurry up and take communion because he won't leave me alone, and then run to the bathroom and do my thing and whatever. No, I went back to the car. I opened the glove compartment. I got a fish cracker out, which my mom always keeps fish crackers in her glove compartment, whether they're stale or not, so you can take communion. We had Slurpees the day before. There was a half-melted Slurpee. I looked down at the Slurpee. He said, yeah, that. And even in that, there was a what he was showing me was that, you know, sometimes we can get so, like, we have to do this in sequence. You have to go get the grape juice. You have to be in church. You have to be in a certain place. You have to have all your duckies in a row. He was like, nah, grab that half-melted Slurpee and the stale fish cracker. And then all of a sudden, my spirit flooded with Isaiah 53. I didn't even know I knew the whole scripture, and it just came out of me. I said, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with Christ Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Yes. And I took the fish cracker, and I drank the little Slurpee, a sip of the Slurpee, and every symptom left, including the poop dried up.
Uh-oh.
And I was healed, and I was like, wow. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, couldn't believe it.
Praise the
and
Lord.
Obedience. Yeah. Obedience is better than sex, anything.
Obedience, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to learn that, but yeah, he healed me. And I was amazed because my mom had told us about communion many times. She had given us these little communion kits. But I really didn't, you know, all the things that the Holy Spirit taught me were personal things. And just for a lot of people, I just want to say, how many times when we get a cold or a flu or anything that happens to us, do we immediately, you know, a cold, we'll be like, oh, our kid has the cold or we have the cold, let's run to 7-Eleven, let's get some Theraflu and all this stuff. But how many times will we say, let's take communion and tell the enemy, no, you can't put this on me because Christ already nailed this to the cross, and that doesn't belong to me, and you take that back, and I'm not even dealing with a cold. I'm not dealing with the flu. I'm not dealing because he paid for our healing. And that's the key, right? The key that opens the door. But if you don't have the information and we don't know how to use it, how can we unlock the door? And it's just as simple as agreeing with God, because he said, when you take communion, when you do this in remembrance of what I sent my son to pay for. So all you have to do is say, hey, Lord, I'm taking communion. Didn't you say, doesn't the word say, that I'm healed and whole already? Well, this doesn't belong to me, and I don't want this. And I'm agreeing with you, not with what the doctor says, not with what's going on with me, not with what I think in my natural mind, because my natural mind was telling me, well, this doesn't make sense. We got to poop. Let's go.
Right. Your flesh wanted you to obey it.
Right. And just say, like, why am I going back to the car to take communion? But God wanted to show me that there was healing there, and that's what I stand on. You know, no matter what your symptoms are, no matter what it is, it's like, you know, you get a package, and it's like it doesn't belong to you. Send it back to the sender. That doesn't belong to you because Christ already paid for that. He already paid
that's
for our healing. And and all we have to do is agree with God, what God said. He said that with Christ Jesus' stripes, we are healed.
That's
so,
we live that. That's true. That is so beautiful. And I love that music. Yep. You were talking about how the Lord was saying that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And did God ever deal with you about that?
About diligently seeking him? Well, I was diligently seeking him, and I was seeking him with everything that I had. I was just trying to fully go into him. I feel like I'm being dealt with that a little bit more now in my walk with the Lord. Because as time has gone on, you know, sometimes I walk this way or that way, and I feel more drawn to continue to press in and diligently seek him. I had an open vision one time, which I don't have often, and I was a little girl, and there was this tall man, and he was in a suit. And I assumed that he was in a suit because it was God the Father. And he had me by my hand, and we were walking through the world, basically, and there was all kind of stuff to do on that side and all kind of stuff to do on the other side. And like a kid, like your kid when you're holding their hand and they see something, they want to run off, and you keep twisting around and trying to take your hand and make him slip your hand off of your hand. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And he was so big and tall that I couldn't see his face because he was humongous, this tall guy with a suit on. And I was this little girl, and I kept on trying to twist around and take my hand out of his hand. And every time that I would do that, he would take my hand and gently but firmly pat it back to his side and say, and I was hearing, but because I couldn't see his face, it wasn't really coming out of his mouth. It was more like it was in the atmosphere, walk with me. Walk with me. And so even now I find myself that's what I have to do when I get distracted, because I get distracted. And I get distracted with all kinds of things I've done, you know, all kinds of things, and then have to come back and repent for them. But even now, as you were asking me the question of diligently seeking him, it's a daily thing. Daily we have to pick up our cross. Daily we have to die to ourselves, our attitude, our whatever it may be. Right now I'm trying to cut sweets out of my diet, and I mean, I was literally in the car fixing the screen saying, my body's screaming, I want sweets.
That's true.
And I was like, this is a trip. But daily, even in that, I'm seeking him. I'm seeking to be healthier, and I'm seeking, you know, and to say, like, things out here that, you know, recently I cut my video games off because I felt like I was playing them too much at night. And I said, you know what, Lord, if I just have to lay here until and praise and worship you until something happens, until you show up, because sometimes it is a push. Sometimes you don't feel the presence of the Lord. The flesh doesn't want to praise the Lord. And so, yes, in those things, I feel like that's the diligently seeking him, cutting things out, drawing closer to the Lord. He says, if you draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. So I've had to just turn the video games off sometimes, you know, cut out the sweets and whatever else I have to do. I've cut the men off, you know, just being real, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I turned the Facebook off. If y'all notice, I don't be on Facebook like that because I'm diligently seeking the Lord. I want him to show up in my life in a great way, you know, to continue in the Lord,
How old were you, Miko, when the Lord said, walk with me, and he had your hand? How old were you at that time?
That was way I got out of prison, and I had Erica. And
you were an adult.
Yes, I was an adult. And I had went to Sacramento. Erica was probably about 3 years old, and I had came back to Sacramento, and I was at my mom's house. And I think one of my best friends, Micah, is probably on here. You guys know Micah. Remember Micah? And
hi, Micah. Yeah, we used to pray with her.
And I was at mom's house. Micah, the same thing, like, I don't know what's going on with me. You know, again, it's like at certain times in life, and I'm just being honest, even now, going through the battle that I'm going through right now seems to be the worst battle that I've ever gone through in my entire life. But then again, when you're in the battle, every battle seems like it's the worst one. Like, I'm not going to make it. This is the worst battle.
Right.
But then, you know, that's how it seems, you know. But you know, God is faithful, because every single time I thought that he wasn't there, he was there. And and I say that to say that sometimes I say to myself, all the time that I was wasting, worrying and stressing out, I could have been happy. That's why the Lord says to rejoice in him always. And it is, he says in everything to give thanks, because that is his will. If you want to know his will for your life, his will is for you to give thanks in all things. Because every time I thought that he wasn't walking with me, he was. Every time. And this is the worst battle yet, because the enemy is throwing up the worst of the worst things that he could ever throw up in my life right now. It's not like any other battle. But I refuse to believe God said he will not leave me nor forsake me. And I refuse to believe that he's ever going to leave me or forsake me. He's not going to. So I've learned through the other battles to battle the enemy that way. I didn't even want to really give my testimony because I didn't feel worthy. But you know what? I'm a royal priesthood and a chosen generation, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And,
there you go.
Even if I felt inadequate, it's not me who's adequate. It's Christ in me who's adequate. And so I said, I'm going to get on here and give my testimony anyway, even if I feel insecure, which is not like me. Usually I don't feel insecure. I didn't have fears like that. But I'm telling you, going through this battle and the enemy trying to make you question whether you're saved or whether you're going to make it or whether you're going to – and he's lying, because every single time Christ had been there for me. So I was telling my best friend, Michael, when I came back from Sacramento, I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know what's going on with me. I just don't feel right, whatever. And, you know, after going through that whole thing with her, we were visiting at my mom's house. She came to visit with me. And then shortly after, I went back upstairs, and maybe 2 days later is when I had that open vision of Christ, of the Father saying, walk with me. So I was a grown woman. I had Erica at 31. She was about 3, so what, I was about 30, 33, 34?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, Miko, do you have a prayer for anybody out there that may have gone through a lot of the things that you've gone through? What kind of advice or anything that you would give? You have a prayer for them?
A prayer. Well,
or advice.
Or some advice.
Some advice.
Yeah.
Well, basically,
Miko, you had something.
Basically, what I just said, like, no matter what battle you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the enemy is trying to tell you, no matter what he's trying to show you, no matter what a doctor has said.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on 1 second. No matter what a doctor has said, no matter what, that's what I've learned through my battles, is that no matter, I'm sorry, someone's texting me, because I'm going to pray for my friends that are on here that are texting me while I'm on here. Because I'm thankful to all my friends and everybody who's tuned in. But I'm going to say a special prayer, too, for healing for Randy and Carla and Pasha and anyone else who needs to be healed, my friend Susie Antonetti. But that is my advice, you know, that walking through this battle, it doesn't matter. The enemy has shown me ugly things, and he has said ugly things, and he has surely said at times that I wouldn't make it. And he has surely said that at times that I wouldn't be healed or I'm not healed. But he's a liar, and we have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that. Even, You know, a lot of times it's not about your feelings. It's not about how you feel, because your feelings can really mess you up and kind of lie to you, you know?
Yeah, you guys, y'all got to wait until she's finished. You're going to be busy ministering
tonight.
I know
y'all
want to
talk, but...
You're going to be real busy. But you know something that I've learned, too, is that no matter what the enemy tries to use when you're going through, that the Lord doesn't love you and that you're this, that, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you can really solidify the fact that God really does love you, he's rooting for you, he's on your side, he wants you, he's not trying to push you away. He knew about everything that was going on with you all along, and he loves us, and he's rooting for us, and the witnesses in heaven is rooting for us. They want to see us make it. And it's the devil that wants to pull people down and make them feel inadequate. We are inadequate, but the blood isn't. The blood is already, he's worthy.
We're not our own righteousness.
When we get that in your head.
Everything is put on Christ. We're walking in Christ Jesus. We're not walking of ourselves. Everything that we have that in Christ Jesus. So it's not us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us that live. It's Christ
but
that
Christ
lives
in us.
Amen. It's the
Christ
in us. You know? So, I just wanted to encourage somebody that whenever you might feel inadequate, or you might even think that God is not with you. Every single time that I thought that God wasn't with me, battle after battle, and like, okay, this is really it. Like I said, going through the battle, every battle gets worse. And the reason that it gets worse is because with every level, like they say, there's a new devil, right?
New devil.
Mm-hmm.
And you get trained for something else. But you're actually overcoming and acquiring something else that you didn't know before. And you're actually being strengthened, because the demons that I was fighting before that I don't struggle with anymore, which is like, you know, tobacco, drugs, this and this and that, it's like, but the warfare that I'm fighting now seems to be more like generational and stuff like that, right? And and even though I don't even understand it all, but like I said, and I'm still learning, you know, things, I don't know everything. Of course, we constantly, you know, are learning. It's from glory to glory. You know, our faith
Amen.
Is being built. It says the good work that he started in us, he would complete it to the day
finish.
Of Christ Jesus, meaning that we're going to forever be going through this and learning stuff. But it's just, I just wanted to encourage somebody that don't ever give up. Don't ever, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in the world today, we see people taking their lives and all kind of stuff because the enemy has fooled them. You know, he has said things to them, and the things are not true. He tries to get you to believe these things. He's a liar. He is the father of lies. All he does is tell lies. And so every battle that I've gone through that was worse than the battle before, I thought to myself, oh, wow, I'm not going to make it through this, or God is not with me. You know, why am I going through this? But believe me, there is a purpose why you're going through it. If you are a Christian and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a born-again child of God. You are a son of God. You are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And you need to just agree with what God says about you. That's all you need to do.
Ooh,
so even if every day, all you need to do is confess that you are healed by Christ Jesus' stripes, and let the stripes do the work. You don't have to do the work, because the work is already
and
finished.
And let the stripes do the righteousness.
Amen. I like that. I like that.
I love it. We love having you, Miko. You've been a blessing, and that's why the phones are on fire. People want you to pray for them, and I'm so happy you were able to come on, because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in to Christian Talk. We'll be back next week, and we love you all. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. God bless.